Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we have got some great stuff to dig into. So thanks so much for being with us. As always, we do appreciate it. We got some hot opinions from Phil Mickelson, from Greg Norman, Rory McIlroy, and what's happening with him. Once again, so much of golf is happening off the golf course, but we'll talk about it. Some great hot stuff like we're talking and mentioning. Art Selinger, our good friend, is going to join us, and he just loves to get in the middle of the hot topics that we're about to talk about. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tim?
Not too bad. Not too bad. PGA Tour is at the Wells Fargo Championship, and they had some rain issues there. We just finished at the Byron Nelson, and they had rain issues there. But, you know, this time of year in the country, you're probably going to have that. So it's not the worst of things. But probably both the Byron Nelson and Wells Fargo, who's playing, who's not playing, becomes a bit of an issue, which is part of the bigger picture, right, Frank, as far as the haves and the have-nots. Signature events get everybody. You've got a major coming up right down the road. We seem to just finish with the Masters. And where do they all fit?
They don't have everybody. They don't have Scottie Scheffler.
Who gets people in it? Yep. His wife had their baby.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so he's now going to take off a little bit of time to be with the family. So that's kind of what happens. And I talked to John Drago, who's the tournament director at the Byron Nelson, about that, saying, hey, you know, you guys are one of those tournaments that has to fight to get a good field. And he said, you know what? Nothing much we can do. We do the best we can. If we're not a signature, then, you're not going to get some of those guys because your prize money is not the same. Yeah. And quite honestly, one guy has a baby. Will Zalatoris is injured. Other guys get hurt. Jordan Spieth does his part and misses the cut. you just never know, right, who's going to be there, especially on the weekends. So he goes, we try to make it where it's just a great event for the community of North Texas, and people want to come regardless of who's playing. And I guess that's the best you can do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good golf that's being played. Just the names – I'm doing air quotes here. The names aren't all there, but there's a hell of a lot of good golf that's being played.
Yeah, so a lot of low scores. A lot of low scores.
Zach Johnson, you know, did the – we won't even go there today.
Yeah.
That's for another show.
Anyway, let's bring in the big man himself, Art Selinger, former long drive champion, and Selinger's Power Golf. He's one of the best fitters in the country when it comes to getting your equipment made just for you, whether you're an amateur or a professional, and he joins us now. Artie, how you doing today?
Good. Well, I'd like to take credit for being that fitter, but it's really my team is the best fitter, I think. At least they are. We're doing quite well, but great to join you guys, especially from Dallas, where we just had the Byron Nelson, and the unveiling of Colonial will happen in a couple, 3 weeks, I think, after Wells Fargo and the PGA. So... Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting times around here. And it's hot. I played yesterday. It was 96 degrees.
Ooh. I know. I did too. Thought I was going to die.
It's in the mid-70s here today after the tornadoes and massive thunderstorms and massive flooding we have. Nashville's turned into, Tornado Alley here, guys.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weather situation.
And it's car path only on every golf course within 150-mile range around here.
I hate that.
I do too. I can't stand it.
Art, I mentioned in the beginning that there's a lot of things happening, so I'll kind of briefly go through one and see what you guys think about this, and we'll get to the next one. So let's start with Rory McIlroy.
Here we go.
He was on the players panel, if you will, when the whole LIV thing came down. He had very hot opinions about that, anti-LIV. Mm. Took himself off of it, said, I just don't have the time to dedicate to all that, and then was apparently going to get back onto that panel. And from the word is that Webb Simpson said, I'm going to back off if Rory comes back on. And there was a lot of pushback that his fellow players, I guess, did not want Rory on that committee, if you will, to talk about it from the player's standpoint. As best I can frame it, start with you, Art. What do you think about all that?
I think what we're dealing with and have for the last, honestly, 36 months of just stuff, 24 months, however long it's been, it's a beating, and it's not only cost the game, it's the discussion around clubs. It's the discussion around non-clubs. It's ugly. It's sad. Viewership is down. yet the talent in the game from these young people, if they all could come together, would be incredible. You know, equity positions, I get it. I personally think, you know, I've always called for the bottom of golf has always been awful. And when I say that, there's no reason a player coming out of college should go to Canada and starve, or Latin America and starve, finish top 10 and not even make your money back, go to the Corn Ferry Tour and starve. How they couldn't inject a handful of millions into those tournaments for those kids. Or the other thing I always had a problem with is, what sport do you pay your own expenses, and what sport do you still pay an entry fee? So sorry to be long-winded and not really answer your question. I think the bottom of the PGA Tour was disarray and horrible, and it was embarrassing. Now at least there's a small guarantee for – I knew people that got their card and went broke. I mean, literally went broke.
Yeah, me too.
So now we hand tight, you know, now we get the player, you know, you get on Twitter and you're a hot person, you can get $15 million. Now you get equity and all this. But I don't know, you know, Rory just got a cool $50 million over a vested period, plus Lord knows his pension. And look, Rory's got more money. I don't know where they're going. I don't believe he was offered the close to $1 billion from LIV. I don't believe that. I can't figure out the policy board. I honestly can't figure it all out. All I know is less and less people are watching professional golf.
And
that is the whether it's Webb Simpson on the board or Jordan Spieth on the board, I don't think it really matters who's on the board. You know, yeah, having Tiger on the board is a nice thing to have, but Rory's voice, again, the middle to lower end players right now are not happy with these top tier players getting tens of millions of dollars. You think there's dissension between the PGA Tour and LIV? There's dissension on the PGA Tour in general from players that have a card. They got a card, but yet they can't play. They have to compete with these players, and they're not in elevated events. They're not in invitationals yet. They have to finish in the top 70, or else they're out of a job. It's a mess. It's great if you're Scotty, Rory, and the like. But if you're not, I mean, you better be really good, or else don't even think about it anymore. I mean, 125 was, Frank, the old saying was, it's way harder to get out here than to stay out here. Well, let me tell you something. It's way harder to get out there now. I mean, yeah, I have a friend who got his card, and he got in two of the first 10 tournaments, and he had a card, and he's Monday qualifying. He goes, I don't have the right card. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that tells you. So you, I think it's all a bunch of BS anyway with this board and all this stuff and this investment group. And I think it's sad what's happened to the game. It's sad what's happened to the game. I told you, Tim, I talked to a dear friend, Peter Jacobson, this morning, not to name drop, but we're talking about some other things, golf clubs, actually. And it's sad where commentary is gone, honestly. Tim, you and I have private conversations about that all the time. I don't watch anymore. I don't. And I was a junkie from Thursday to Sunday, a junkie. I can't remember the last time. It's sad.
How often do you tune into PGA Tour Radio, SiriusXM?
All the time.
Yeah, I keep mine on, but I keep mine going, and I like some of the shows, but some of the shows don't need to be there. They just don't.
No. I was being facetious.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, the Golf Channel has turned into a very, very, you know, these guys, you can tell that they're not on site. You know that they're in a studio calling the action off a monitor.
Yep.
They're all saving money. NBC doesn't know who's going to be in the big chair for the U.S. Open. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, there used to be, when we watched the U.S. Open, between the six of them that were calling the action, or the five, they had played in over 100 of them, for goodness sakes.
Yep.
Now we got people that have played in one or two, and I'm sitting there and supposed to, you know, believe them?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
They've really felt it between the pipes. I think people are playing and loving the game, but they don't like the pro game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, you've got Tirico's going to be in there. Baxton will be in there in the studio. Who else, Tim? They announced the four.
Yeah, I didn't see the other guys.
They need consistency.
I'm sorry. I'm so remiss. Randall Chamblee will be in there.
Yes.
And there's one other. But they're going to bring back.
Justin Leonard, maybe?
I don't think it was Justin Leonard.
Justin's doing some NBC stuff.
Yeah. But they're bringing back, you know, Roger Maltby. And your favorite, Tim, better than most.
Oh,
you know,
what an overrated call. Just
no.
Beats me down every time.
Stop
they make it,
it
sound like
stop
he's
it.
Like he's Al Michaels.
Yeah, stop
like,
it.
Really?
But they are bringing. They're bringing, anyway, they're putting a good team together for the U.S. Open. But
there's
but
kind
Art,
of peace
is,
ab- in
Art
it,
is absolutely right. We used to be able to watch the coverage, and there were players that had played in multiple major tournaments and won multiple tournaments around the world that really had great insight and analytics for the game and weren't afraid to say what they thought about it.
Well, maybe, and here's another thing. Maybe it's a money game, right? I mean, everything seems to always come down to money. In the past, guys didn't have the $100 million in the bank that they have now, that maybe I don't need a broadcasting career, right? As a Johnny Miller who retired as a phenomenal player and a lot to say, but certainly didn't have the income that the guys have. You could, if you're Jordan Spieth or if you're a top player in the last 10 or 15 years, there's no financial reason.
Well, that's a lot harder. Really it's hard work.
Broadcasting's
hard work.
Well, yeah, and you got to travel. Every week you're gone. You're away from your family.
And you're up
stuff.
18 hours a day, as you
so
well know, and
yeah,
I know.
So they're like, I don't need to do that. So who are you going to get? Well,
yeah.
Get Brad Faxon.
Let me ask you this.
Right?
One thing I thought about when we talk about the PGA Tour policy board. Smiley Kaufman.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Don't get Kim cranked up on that one.
Oh, really?
But shouldn't there be a job requirement? Like when we go, if we were to go apply for a job, it'll say you're a college degree required for the policy board? How can you have people on there making decisions or interactively making decisions about billions of dollars that didn't even go to college or maybe 2 years?
You make a great point. I want to understand how this group of very wealthy people that put well over $1 billion into the PGA Tour and already delved out a couple hundred million of it to big star. I want to know their ROI. Where are they going to make their money? Because I'd love to know on the net. I don't know when the next TV deal is up, but I just want to understand it. It just, you know, Mickelson in one way, you know,
he was right.
You can look at him nine ways, but all of a sudden there are elevated events. All of a sudden there's player incentive pools. All of a sudden there's equity. I just don't think, you know, who am I to say, but I look at big time star athletes like Patrick Mahomes, and you're telling me a golfer should make as much as Patrick Mahomes?
No way.
Sorry.
No way.
Don't agree with it.
Wait,
don't
Artie,
agree with
Artie
it.
Here's, and I wish I knew the name. I'm going to bring it up anyway. But Tim, maybe you can Google it pretty quick. SSG, you know, the boys who put in the billions of dollars. Well, right. Now they have put someone in from their group to help the PGA Tour raise the bar on their marketing and their programs at tournaments. Have you noticed they're having concerts after the tournaments more and more now? And they're
where'd they get that idea?
Wow. You know, gosh, imagine that. They're copying Live Golf. If you watch their coverage, they're copying it a lot. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they've
Phil Mickelson.
I'm sorry. They've been doing that. I remember being at in 2018 at Napa, and they had a big concert after the tournament. They've been doing stuff like that. Of course, they did it at the Nest, and they did it at the Nelson and stuff. Yeah. But anyway, they are doing some copying. I just don't think there's one player that can make a difference, because all they got to do is they're representing the players on the tour, you know, and I know Jason Gore has really worked his tail off trying to do this.
Good guy, too. Good guy.
I just don't think that a player's voice who gets one of those chairs to represent the tour players, I don't think it makes much of a difference. I really don't. Yeah. I just don't.
I don't disagree.
Well, I think I do think that the reason Rory got pushback was because, as we all know, I think it was at the Travelers meeting that they all got together right after all the stuff was hitting the fan with Liv. And Rory basically was going on about this and this and this. And I can't remember which player, but somebody basically stood up and told Rory to F off.
He said it too.
Because he doesn't speak for all of it. Because we're not flying private jets, Roy. We're to the Art's point of saying, I got my card. I can barely get in any tournament, so don't
can't
sit here
to
and tell
up
us
my car to get to the tournament.
Tell us how the world of golf should be run, Rory. So I think it does make a difference on that policy board. If you have more, bringing up a name, Patton Kizzire, let's just say a guy who's nobody's favorite, nobody really knows outside of his family, but keeps on tour, keeps playing the game. He's got an opinion that really represents 90% of the tour.
Yeah.
And Rory represents 4% of the tour.
If that
of
much.
Me and the other jet guys that get in each other's jets to fly to tournaments. The tour has to take care of those. It's no different than any union in baseball, football, or anything else. Yes, the Mahomes will make all the money, and he's making commercials and everything else. But what about that backup tight end? What about those guys have to be represented and say, what's our minimum? Like, how do we get by with less money than those guys make? And the tour is the same, and I think even worse, as you pointed out, Art, you struggle, even if you have your tour card, which should be your ultimate, I'm holding it up, like, look at me. That's only part of the game. Yeah. I got my card. Now I got to actually somehow get out there on the tour and play in these. And the have and have nots, the gap just keeps widening, and I don't know how they're going to fix it.
You're right. Let me just tell you this. Imagine – we're all three in the same bucket. We got a card. Let's just think about this 7-week stretch. Okay. We did not play the Players' Championship. Okay. We did not play the Masters. We did not play at Harbortown because RBC was an elevated event. Okay. Now, how's our May going to do? We got to play in the Byron Nelson. No, we're not playing Wells Fargo this week. No, we're not in the PGA Championship. And by golly, we're not going to get invited to Colonial. And guess what? Mr. Nicklaus is not going to let us play Memorial. So I'll just go ahead and take 8 of my 9 weeks off. And, you know, maybe I'll get a job serving burgers, or maybe I'll go play the Corn Ferry Tour or a barbecue scramble. Like, you have a card. What the hell are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, congratulations on getting your card, but good luck trying to play.
It's almost that they're teasing these guys. Here's your card, and they're always thinking, oh, now my life has changed. You're like, no, not really. Because now you're sitting there going, okay, because those mortgage invoices keep coming, right? You still got to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Everything's happening. Meanwhile, I don't make any money. I'm on the range all the time working on my game. But you're right, Art. You got to go weeks and weeks without even getting into a tour. How does that not get solved? How do those voices, which again are 90% of the guys in the tour, how do they not say, hey, Monahan, what about us?
Hey, how do you keep your game up when you don't do that? You're not out there competing. How do you keep your game in tournament form? You don't.
You don't.
And then you get your chance. You get your chance. You want to talk about pressure. Everybody talks about the pressure coming down the stretch at the Masters. The pressure was the person that got into the Nelson last week and had to make hay right there.
Yeah.
And if he did, then he missed the cut. By the way, the cut was 6 red. But anyway, he had to make the cut or else start getting ready for John Deere or whatever the hell is next. You can't play Travelers. Yep. That's elevated.
Yep.
Travelers is elevated. I mean, it's really not what it's cut out for. And so their answer is play better. Well, if you don't get to play?
There you go.
It's a mess.
You're seeing the demise of the PGA Tour as it once existed, period.
Well, it's also, Frank, like we talked about that, you know, it's almost like Tiger, right, when you're talking at a different level. But Tiger can't compete because Tiger is only hitting golf balls with some. He's not in the competition. He's not in tournaments. It's the same at the opposite end of it where you're trying to make a living. I'm not in tournaments enough to really, when I finally get there, I'm a deer in headlights. Yeah, I've been shooting with my buddies and shooting 64s every day.
Not even close.
But now I'm in competition, right? I can't. You're the same as Tiger. You can't compete unless you can play. And those guys that we're talking about are the ones who sit there on the outside going, hey, look at my buddies. They're all doing good. I'm sitting here putting it in my backyard. Yeah. You know? Now, here, let me bring up this too.
You're right.
Okay, go ahead. One last thing.
I want to make one more point. As the rich sit around that board room and they make decisions, I promise you, they're talking about the following. How do we keep Liv from gaining ground and stealing our players, number one? That's the first thing. How do we keep title sponsors that are going to start leaving now because there is no ROI for this huge investment whatsoever? And they're not in there going, how are we going to take care of the guy who's 115th on the money list? That's not their concern.
No.
So they came up with that $500,000 deal. How are we going to get him in more tournaments? Okay. And it's just, that's not what they're talking about. And then when you read an article that they distributed $100 million in equity to these players, and I love these, they're great players and I get it. And right now golf should be pretty darn cool because we're actually getting to see somebody Tiger-esque right now in Scottie Scheffler. I mean, it is unreal.
Yeah.
And he wins. And the Masters ratings are down 20%. How's that possible? We're getting to see somebody who struck it as good as Tiger. I mean, and is on a pace, just killing it. And it's good theater. It's great golf. But yet nobody's watching it because they're disgusted. They really are.
I think they're just tired of the infighting. Yep. I think they are. I think you're right.
Okay, so let me bring up this point. Now, we talked about Greg Norman at the beginning. We talked about Phil. Greg is now saying, if you've seen this, boys, and I'll speak with Art first, that maybe Liv, you know, with our buckets of money, what else can we do? Oh, we could buy golf courses and kind of dominate the world of golf from that standpoint of playing where we want to play in our own on our own golf courses. Is that just another dig in the sides of the PGA Tour that Norman just keeps reminding them of what they can do to change the world of golf?
Well, the PGA Tour did it. They created, they of course own, you know, TPC, but they created the TPC network and all that. But yes, let me tell you something. You just do not want to play games with these people. Mm-hmm. I don't care how deep Arthur Blank's pocket is or whoever's put their money in to get to this $1.5 billion. You are talking about, and this fund, Liv is its own animal versus the fund. Also, in a sense to where there's a whole nother game that they're trying to be involved with the PGA Tour, and they got beat out of that. Now, if you're going to go toe-to-toe, with Liv. And I think Liv's going to end up going to 72 holes, and I think they're going to increase their fields, and I think they're going to get more players, and nobody's going to watch either of them because the Liv coverage is tough to watch. I don't care for it. I just don't. I've tried, and I just don't care for it.
I think they're going to make some changes in their coverage. In fact, a little bird told me that from that side of the house.
Well, if they got they got so much. I can't believe that they can't get a better TV situation than they have right now.
By a network.
Right, Tim?
Right?
You know,
it's only a few billion.
But everything we're talking about right here, the pro game should be the players today, you know, from Aberg and all these youngsters that are coming out that are so good. The game today should have the best 144 to 56 players teeing it up all the time. The field should be incredible. It should just be amazing on the best golf courses, and none of this 40, 60 player limited stuff. I'm so against that stuff.
Yeah.
I am so against it.
Well, Phil's point, and Phil, you know, trying to continue to poke the bear, which he loves to do, is him saying, well, you know, people are saying that the majors, if that's where you're seeing some live players, What if none of the LIV players played in the majors? How about as if that were like maybe an option, or they could somehow boycott it or whatever? But he was just making the point of if you watch a majors and now you're saying, oh, the Masters was great, even though the numbers were way down in viewership. But we did get to see Rahm, and we got to see Koepka and all the other guys, DeChambeau and all the other. But what if none of those guys played? Would that make it much of a difference? And if you don't have all the great players that are playing like we all want to see at the majors, how will that change things? How will that change golf? And he came up with a term which I'm not even familiar with. Maybe you guys are, because Phil kind of lives in the millennial world. And he said FAAFO. Did you guys see that? And it's an abbreviation, just like everybody does now, like OMG, right? If you're cool, yeah, you got abbreviations for everything. So FAAFO, after he did his whole tirade about what happens if you don't see these guys and these guys, stands for F as in F, you know the word F. F around and find out. FAAFO is F around and find out. Yeah. What happens
freak,
if that happens?
Freak around and find out. Yeah, and that's exactly how they play the game over there too.
Yeah. If that's what you guys want to do, then let's see. Okay, maybe we'll go down that road and we'll – and I think Phil and some of the other LIV guys are going, we sense a – as we just talked about, the weakness of the PGA Tour, the fracturing
smell blood
of the PGA Tour. Maybe we can swoop in and maybe we will get five or six more guys. That's going to be a little bit more on our side.
Oh, I think it's coming.
And change the weight of the whole thing and say, maybe you guys are doing it the wrong way and we're doing it the right way. You just haven't caught on yet, Jay Monahan.
History, oh, wow. History has shown the AFL failed, the ABA failed, the USFL failed. But you know what? This one's not. Mm-mm. Obviously, because the depth of their pockets,
well,
and they
funded.
Do have stars.
Big difference.
And they're going to lock those stars up, and it's their fields, their 54, 72-player fields are only going to get stronger. Now, that first year, you look down and you go, huh, who, what, what? What?
Yeah.
You know, I do think, you know, they're gonna end up replacing some of these older players as well. I would not want to play. I would not want to play. Just like I would not want to get in the ring with Mike Tyson. I would not want to get in the ring with these people with those pockets. You can't win.
Yeah.
You're not going to win. It's all
And by the way, to your point, which was valid, those other leagues that normally start and oftentimes end up in a merger, right? AFL, ABA, but they were lesser than there. None of them had nearly the money that we're talking about here. The ABA, if you want to go back to
the Virginia
Star Squires and all that stuff, I'm just saying they played in like college gyms, right? They traveled on buses. They didn't have nearly the first class accommodation. So they were trying to get into this on a shoestring budget. It's completely different with LIV Tour. LIV Tour started with $47 gazillion. And now, and remember that flight? I mean, I still think of it. Remember that flight those guys all took when they got on from Vegas, I think, to go to Dubai, and they were all partying, and Pat Perez and all these guys are like in a disco at 40,000 feet. That's their world. They're going, oh, this isn't too bad to be in this trying to make it LIV Tour thing, because we're living a better life than you guys are over there. So, yeah, it's a different kind of new league trying to make it with the pockets that they have.
Well, let's back up to the PGA Tour for a minute and talk about, you know, Scottie Scheffler. And yeah, he's there's no doubt he's Tiger-esque. He's fabulous. There is no doubt. He is, though, doesn't have the aura around him that Tiger had, for one. There's nobody that I see, in my opinion, on the PGA Tour that has that allure, except for a couple of players that could really step out if they could win some stuff and be like Ricky Fowler was so excitable for the masses when he came on early, like a Max Homa would be. If Max could step out and win some stuff, he'd be the darling of the PGA Tour. You know, the new names, if you will. LIV has all that. The PGA Tour has to develop it. Scotty is great to follow, and he's a fabulous player, and there's no doubt he's the best in the world. No doubt. But Scotty doesn't get into all the social media. He doesn't care about all that stuff. He's a very, very fine Christian young man. He lives the life. He walks the walk that he talks. I mean, he's a great man. He's not, you know, Don Rickles on the stage,
I think,
like Max Homa could be.
I don't know that we'll ever see another Tiger, because Tiger threw in a lot of elements and certainly his pedigree, if you will, right? He was a kind of a public guy as far as public golf courses. He wasn't a rich country club guy. And he came out of virtually kind of, I say nowhere, but until he started to catch up. Well, but the real thing for Tiger, in addition to the fact that he was of different ethnic background, which made it very different than the lily white pro golfers that we normally saw, made him different. But what really stood out was his dominance, right? I mean, the guy won three junior amateurs, three U.S. amateurs. I mean, he was great before anybody even really kind of even caught on to who Tiger Woods was. That probably can never be duplicated, all of those elements of Tiger. But the dominance we're seeing from Scotty, which has certainly been there for the last year, I think can elevate him there. Now, does he want to, you know, do commercials? And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't want to. Because if you remember, Tiger did this, even though his personality was always kind of rough and gruff with the media, he did those bouncing the ball. Remember those?
Well, it was a perfect marriage, Tim.
And all that?
Nike and Tiger. That was a perfect marriage of a very edgy sporting goods company with Tiger Woods coming out as he did. That was a perfect storm.
It kind of was. So I don't know that it'll be that way, but I do think the domination will catch. Scottie Scheffler has proven that nobody right now can beat him. And he's being compared to Tiger as far as his distance between number one in the world and number two in the world is every bit as big as it was during Tiger's domination. Because number two and all the rest of them were way down below Tiger. That's how they are now with Scotty. There's such a gap between him and everybody else. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
What you're missing with Tiger versus Scotty is flair.
Yeah.
Flair and flair and incredible, crazy shots from positions where you just go, what? You think about the Canadian Open out of the bunker.
God.
You think about Firestone out of the rough with that flipping three iron. You just think about the six iron at number six at Pebble Beach. And you can sit here and name. I remember Earl being interviewed and saying, he will hit a shot in every single tournament you'll always be able to recall. You think about him pointing and running after that putt at Valhalla. You think about all the twirls and the swagger and the this and the that and the comebacks. And you just, the whole package will never be duplicated. The ball striking is being duplicated right now. The scoring average is being duplicated. But the other stuff that goes with it just, you know, is not being duplicated. And that will never be. And that's that. Yeah. Look how good Rory is. He won 25 times. You know, I forget who made – Brandel made a really good point from wins. You know, seven of somebody's wins up there were with partners and all that kind of stuff. Tiger's 82 wins, none of them were with anybody else but himself.
Shocking.
So, shocking. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Imagine him by himself.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's never ending, and Art, I think to your point from back when earlier in the show, the sad part is that the Masters, which normally is the crown jewel, right? You got to watch them. I don't care if you're into golf, you're not. Everybody watches the Masters, and it was 20% down, with a compelling storyline and competition and big name players and everything else going on, and yet people still weren't watching. All of this crap that is spinning in the golf world. While some are making a lot of money doing it, a lot of guys that are playing golf aren't making a lot of money, and fans are getting to the point of going, like you said, Art, do I want to sit there from Thursday through Sunday and watch another tournament? I'll go do something else.
When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about the new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, I had to try it. So I went to a PXG location for a fitting. What an experience. The PXG fittings are above and beyond anything I've ever experienced. Their attention to detail, the work with you, they take their time, and they make sure that before you get out of there, you have exactly what you need to play your best golf with the best product on the market. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. Black Ops drivers are adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness. That's ridiculously high. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving the club will play. So you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and get distance. And let's face it, none of us do, including the pros. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology, and you get incredible ball speed that pushes distance to the absolute limits. More forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. What more can you ask for? So, here it is. Game changer has been thrown around so much, it's lost its meaning. Trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/GTA. And use code GTA at checkout. That's pxg.com/GTA, code GTA, for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/GTA, code GTA. Now, back to that conversation. Okay, viewership is down. Coverage is down. Golf in America, the PGA of America, the PGA Tour, USGA, all that is down, right? It's not yeah. The playership among the masses is up.
Yeah.
Now, what sense does it make for the PGA Tour, the PGA of America, the USGA, who control the majors? Masters didn't do this, but they've all started cutting back on how much media they will have on site at the tournaments. They just want some of the national media, and they'll give everybody access, not everybody, but certain media outlets access to their FTP site so you can get in and get all the interviews and all that kind of stuff. But they're saying they don't want a lot of people on site. What sense in the hell God's name does that make? If you have media that has listenership,
viewership, they want more of it. Yeah.
You would think so.
It would seem to make sense.
Are they too damn cheap to fix an extra pimento cheese sandwich? What the hell is their problem? I don't get it.
Wow. It's a bad state. You know what I just think? When I listen and hear what golfers say at my club or wherever, or come in my shops, you know what? People are put out. It's all that's to it. A bunch of rich people fighting about money. They're put out when some guy signs for $450 million to come over. Yeah. What needle has he moved to be worth that? I want to understand the ROI. I mean,
there is
Seeger. I mean, Simeon and Seeger helped us win a world championship here in Texas when they got those big contracts. They put butts in seats, they sell jerseys, and they win a World Series. Mahomes wins, you know, Super Bowls and MVPs, and they put hundreds of thousands of people and tens of millions of viewers to watch. I can see the ROI. I mean, I just want to know what the CJ people got out of the Nelson last week, and I'm here and I'm all for it. I just want to understand. I want to understand the investment. I really do.
So you're saying that Taylor Gooch isn't worth your time?
Well,
Taylor Gooch made what did he make last year? $38 million.
Yeah,
$38 million playing Live Tour golf, yeah. And could walk past anybody, including his mom and dad, and they wouldn't recognize.
Oh,
him.
Not that bad. But
Brock
I understand
Purdy
your point.
Brock Purdy made $750,000. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
Crazy. Right. The world's upside down, boys.
And I do think that some of the points you're making, Art, and that we're making in general, which is the lack of interest that people are showing now in golf, is because it is golf too. Like other sports, we get put off by the fact of another guy signs another, you know, football player, basketball, another $180 million, 4 or 5 year contract. It all seems ridiculous to me, but you're like, but I think the world of golf has a different perception, which is they're all kind of rich guys to begin with, which isn't true, but the perception I think is.
Perception's there. Yeah.
These are rich guys because only rich people, really country club people, play golf anyway. And so now they're getting rich doing it. And the sympathy level is even much lower than other sports where they overcome it. They're like, well, whatever. I still want to watch my Chiefs play. I still want to watch the Cowboys and the Titans play. In golf, you're like, you know, it's these rich bitches that just keep moaning about everything, and all they are making more money. I don't even care. Turn it off. And I think that is instilled in a lot of people going, I'm not going to watch the rich people bitch about that they're not making enough money. And as we just pointed out, that's not all true. There's a lot of guys trying to make car payments playing golf. It's just not the perception of the people. So I think somehow they got to turn that around. Right, Frank, and to your point, not inviting more media to cover things and trying open the door more might be the way to do it. Instead,
they need positive coverage.
They're being exclusive, not inclusive. Right? They're saying, okay, you guys stay here and we'll tell you.
And you know my feeling about the PGA of America anyway. I mean, they ought to merge with the Teamsters. They're the same difference.
Jimmy Hoffa was still here.
Right. Yeah. And look at the disarray of the world golf rankings.
Oh,
right.
Stupid.
And how important those are used as the Bible for so much, for so many.
Yeah.
You know what? By the way, let's just say this real quick. It's a President's Cup year.
Oh, boy.
Does anybody even know or care?
Not particularly, no.
Yeah. No. When it comes down to it,
are we at the edge of our seat?
Yeah.
Nobody has.
Yeah.
Nobody has. The PGA Tour owns the President's Cup. PGA Tour owns the Players' Championship. PGA Tour owns the FedEx Cup. That's it. But here's an organization. I will never, Tim, I know what sets your hot buttons, Frankie, too, what gets you guys upset. I will never, for the life of me, for the rest of my entire day, ever understand somebody starting a tournament 10 under par and somebody starting even par. I'm telling you, whoever allowed that and thought that was a good idea, that is the most ignorant thing.
Yes, it is.
I mean, does somebody get a head start in a running race at the Olympics?
We're going to propose that the Kentucky Derby be run that way next year.
Yeah, some horses are at the first turn. Yeah,
there you go.
Start at the first turn. Why not?
Yeah.
I think golf is trying so hard, Art, to do so much, and it's almost like they keep stepping on their own toes. Every time they do something or trying, they don't really figure it out. And maybe they need to bring in some NFL people, somebody that's done it and knows here's how you make the entire country give a damn about what you're doing. And that's what I'm saying. I think they're in such a vacuum there. All they listen to is each other. They go to lunch, and they're like, hey, what about you? I agree. And they go back to their offices and do nothing, and nothing's changed. But they have another meeting about another meeting to talk about this. And it's the same voices keep coming back at them. They need something to kick them in the butt and say, you guys are not, in 5 years down the road, you're going to be less important than you are right now. Think about that.
Well, here and the TV coverage, and I won't belabor this one, but when you watch bear with me on this. You're going to watch a PGA tournament, PGA Tour event, okay? You start off the week on the Golf Channel, then you go to Peacock, and then you have to switch over to the Golf Channel on the weekend and Peacock, and then NBC or CBS or whomever's covering it. Or stream it. You have to go to 16 different places, PGA Tour Live, okay, and stream that. And it's on ESPN Plus, so you have to have that. But if I want to see a live event, I go to the CW, by God. Yeah. And that's it. Or stream it.
It is simpler.
It's much simpler. The CW, although it's on every cable box, and don't get me started on Xfinity today because I'm going to meet them this afternoon.
Okay. We won't.
Anyway, but CW's on every cable box. They need to market that a little better, I would think. It's not being marketed properly, in my opinion. And if you're listening live, I'll be happy to help you. Marketed.
Well, they're also not weekly, right? I mean, they're not playing most of the next live event. The next live event isn't until June.
Again, that's the marketing engine,
in
though.
Houston,
if it's marketed properly, there'll be anticipation for that. Not a thousand little text messages and Twitter and Facebook and TikTok
Instagram. I think there has to be more continuity in that you watch football every Sunday. It's an event, and you're sitting there with your popcorn and your beer ready for it to go. You know when it is. It's every week. Baseball.
But how many years did it take to get it to that point?
Well, it did. But I'm saying there's a regularity.
Yep.
The LIV Tour is still sporadic to me.
Yes.
It still affects
and it's
them
overseas. And some of them, you're not going to get
sure
up at 3 a.m.
I'm not sure when they're playing or where they're
going.
Again,
it's marketing.
Yeah.
It's marketing. They could market it a little better is what I'm saying. Or a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And get you drive people to your front door. And Art will know this because he's such a good businessman. You drive business to your front door. You don't open your door and hope they'll come. This ain't Field of Dreams. It's Field of Black Hole of losing red hole of losing money right now for a lot of people on the PGA Tour. So I'm just real opinionated about that, guys. I apologize, but
that's all right. I
came from the world of business, and I built two different companies with a good team, and we sold them out. This is just they could market it better. I mean, yeah, they've got pockets that are so deep. Give me just a penance from that, and let me run with it. And then if I don't do a good job, behead me. I don't care. There we go. I got to go to Xfinity, boys.
You do, man.
I'm so pissed off at them.
Frank's getting on the couch, so we know that's the signal. We got to go because Frank's having a therapy session.
I'm sorry.
All right, how's everything going? How's everything going with Selinger Power Golf?
We're doing great. Business is great, and I mean, people are excited to play golf. Excited for equipment. I think the equipment world is, I think it's fast paced, but I think that the stuff is really good. Everybody's making great products. And once you get some good stuff, you can hang on to it. You don't need to get a driver every year. That's the biggest issue I have in this business is, if I would have picked up the 5 to 10 yards every year that they promised, I'd be hitting it 1,644 yards.
Well, you hit it close to that anyway. Yeah.
The biggest thing I'm going to see come down the pike that I have a huge problem with two things. Number one, anchoring a putter. Don't get it. And number two, the fact that this altered golf ball is coming. And I think it's going to... I think it's really, really going to hurt the game. It's really going to hurt the game. Having this golf ball rolled back for the pros is.
And I don't see even how you do with all the things we just talked about. If you're the PGA Tour, how that is even on your plate
or USGA.
At this point?
It's not the PGA Tour.
Well, USGA. I'm just saying golf in general. They work hand in hand most of the time. Why that's even on the plate for anybody when you see what's going on in golf and people aren't watching and people are getting disinterested and all that, that's the last thing people want to hear is let's make the game less dramatic. As you said a million times, Art, and I was at a golf course down in Waco with Trip Davis, who's a course designer and redid it down there, and I was talking to Trip about it, and he says the same thing you said all the time, which is there's a lot of ways to prevent these guys from hitting the ball 390 yards and do it with the grasses, do it with the way the golf course is laid out. Don't say we're going to make the ball go less far. Nobody wants a ball that goes less far. Let's penalize you. If you want to try to hit it 390 and you're going to end up in a lake or in a 6 inches of rough, then go ahead and hit that ball.
Raise the rough. Don't shave the fairways down where the ball rolls 300 yards.
So why don't they know that, Art? I mean, it's common sense.
I
cannot,
for the life of me, I cannot fathom what they are doing with this golf ball, and it needs to be left alone. I mean, the biggest thing that has no restriction right now is the technology on putters. And I'll tell you something right now, the lab putter is so far ahead from a technology performance standpoint, it may not look as appealing as you may think. But inside that little shell, there's not one rule in the game that from a balance, a line balance standpoint and face stability and twist, I'm telling you, there's no rules for that. But yet they want to roll a golf ball back. And you got guys that they have to say, I'm not anchoring. It may look like it. I don't know if they are or not or whatever. I can do that.
Is my shirt blowing in
the putter's on my arm. I can arm lock. I can do that. But they're going to sit there and mess with the golf. With all the crap going on in this game, now they're going to disconnect the regular golfer from the professional on the golf ball.
Ridiculous.
Who will hold the patent? Here's the question. Who will hold the patent on the new rolled back ball out of the chute?
Well, I mean, they're just going to basically control – but what it will be is how when their Iron Byron machine type testers, their Canon testing happens, and with X amount of swing speed, it's going to only be able to produce X amount of ball speed, and they're just going to make it slower. Everybody's going to have to abide by these.
Right, regulations.
So I don't know how they're going to market it or whatever. I think the top five golf balls are really good, but I just – this is another – you know what it is? It's another distraction. It's bad story.
Right.
Just like – they got to avoid bad stories, and this is a bad story.
And the fact is, too, is who's complaining about this? You know, it's like the USGA, PGA, all golf in general that's talking about this. Who are they solving a problem of? Was Frank and Art and Tim saying, you know, my ball goes way too far. We got to do something about it. Were we sitting there saying that Rory? Who was complaining that my ball is going too far that made them go, you know what? We better step up, and all these other rules we could change, we're going to put those aside. This is what we need to focus on. It's like they created their own problem that they then decided they wanted to solve, and nobody's complaining about it. I mean, yeah, we all make fun of playing it in Hawaii where Dustin Johnson hits 410-yard drives down a hill. Okay, that's one tournament, and that's kind of their fun little gamey thing they do. The rest of the time, have you noticed the scores? They're pretty much the same scores at almost every tournament you go to that you saw 10 and 20 years ago. When they're saying, well, the ball didn't go as far. Well, they're suddenly
not. Course setup.
Everybody's not shooting 61 every week now.
It's course setup. That's all it is. That's how they do it.
But I want to finish one more point, and then I got to run. Think about this. Please tell me, is the PGA Tour a publicly traded entity? Is it is it on the New York Stock Exchange? No. It's a privately held entity owned by the players. Just tell me, if they were going to do that equity thing, which they're doing with Tiger and Justin and Jordan and whoever, what else they do and all that, why is that a press release? Why is that public knowledge? Why? If they've never released everybody's pension of what every player has coming to them based on made cuts, based on money won, tournaments won, why did they do this? Because they're trying to say, hey, look what we're doing for our players. But why was that a release?
Yeah. Because
all that
I think
does,
they needed to tell them.
It's a horrible release.
Yes, it is. It's negative.
I think they need to say, we're doing what Live Tour says we didn't do, which is
who are they
generous.
Trying to convince? Who are they convincing, and what are they trying
the
to
public.
Convince?
I think they're public. I think they think that the Live
that
Tour took their thunder.
Not want to walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
I don't. Does anybody again
think about that? They don't have to report that on their publicly other their quarterly earnings report.
Yeah.
They don't have to say a word. They could have done it behind the scenes. They could have done the PIP behind the scenes. They do everything behind the scenes. They do. They don't sit there and when somebody has a drug issue or whatever. I'm just saying they had no business. They think that that was a positive message to say we're giving Tiger 50, Jordan 20 or 30, Justin 20 or 30, and look at us.
They're playing catch up. They're playing catch up for the first time ever. The PGA Tour is playing catch up.
Hey, defense only wins football games.
Telling why they had to do it.
Not golf, you know. Not golf.
Art, we appreciate your time. Are the Knicks going to win it all this year, Art? Your Knicks.
They're not my Knicks. At all.
I thought you liked the Knicks. You don't like the Knicks?
The fix is in for the Knicks. I am a Mets and Jets fan, but I will root for the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Stars. But the Knicks, I think the fix is on with the NBA. Have you seen some of these? I'm a Coach Carlisle fan, by the way, so I hope the Pacers whoop their ass. But did you see some of these calls at the end of the games?
Yeah.
I mean, can you be more obvious? Gosh.
Throw a catfish on the court.
Unbelievable.
God almighty.
All right, Artie, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for your opinions and time. And we'll talk to you again
soon.
Thanks,
pal. See you.
Take care. Art Selinger. Selinger's Power Golf, too. Go to their website, SellingersPowerGolf.com. If you're ever going to be in the Dallas area, they'll fit you for the best clubs you've ever had.
I love Art.
There you go. Yeah, finally.
Well, I got a little opinionated today, but they're my opinions, and I'm entitled to them. So.
Hell yeah. Yeah, whatever. I think that the final thing we said is that the PGA Tour – is doing a lot of catch-up. They're doing a lot of things to try to say, okay, what are we going to do? And I guarantee you that they want to know every minute of every day that Monahan and all the minions under Monahan at Camp Ponte Vedra are getting an update on what's Liv doing. What did they say today? Their announcement today. They want to know so much of what they're doing, which is, of course, what Norman and Mickelson cared about is we're in their heads, right? We're already making them think, what are we doing? What are you going to do now? What's going to be next?
Yeah,
how are you
they're reacting.
So they can counter to
that. Nothing's proactive with them. They're reacting.
And Art's point to that is totally true. You know as well as I do, Frank, the PGA Tour is as locked down as any company had ever been until Live Tour came along. You couldn't find one thing about what parking spot people have or anything else. They're just so tight about everything.
Oh, yeah.
They're the 800-pound gorilla. Nothing gets out. And now suddenly they have to go, oh, by the way, you know those guys that are really rich and famous?
We gave them more.
We're going to give them more money. Look at us. We are so much better than Liv. We're rich, too.
Look at those people down the street from the course that we just played the tournament, where we just played the tournament, that are impoverished and can't eat and can't pay their water bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's look at that.
And by the way, Frank, when you say that, when you're giving these guys more money that we're talking about, those are the ones that don't need the more money. Does Tiger need $50 million more?
No, but if Tiger, were to go to Liv, if he'd say, well, I'm going to endorse Liv, the PGA Tour, they'd go ahead and.
So do you wonder, those checks, do you
think Ponte Vedra Beach would have to change its zip code?
Do you think those checks came with a contract?
Oh, you know they did.
You
know they did.
You can't go anywhere?
You know they did.
Because
there was some sort of an agreement in kind.
But it's still kind of a pittance, right? If you're Jordan Spieth and those numbers are kind of accurate and they say, okay, we're going to give you $20 million just for being a great guy, Jordan Spieth's got to be a $500 million entity at Live Tour.
They're playing the how-could-you-do-this-and-take-blood-money game.
So why would $20 million? Well, $20 million wouldn't make you not go. If I got $500 million on the other side of the fence.
I have the money they have, but I don't know, Tim. I just
here we do. We keep talking about it, right, Frank?
That's
the problem with golf.
It's
too much talk about this shit.
It is a bunch of shit. You're absolutely right.
You know,
and
not
I enjoy
so much
playing
about the
game.
Golf.
I'm getting to the point where, you know, on this show and every other show you listen to, I think ours probably more than others because we have some very opinionated people. And we're very open. We can talk about just about anything. It's just all negative all the time. We got to get back to something positive. And there's not a lot positive right now.
Are you watching Full Swing? I will say this about Full Swing. I guess
I did.
Second season.
Watched all of it. Yeah.
And I haven't finished the second season yet. But
you
I will
tell
say
how
this.
It ends.
No. I will say this.
Same old thing.
There are some positives. The last episode I just watched were the Fitzpatrick boys.
Yes.
And that was a nice, you know. A
family
cool episode,
yeah,
if you will,
was,
right? They're like their mom and dad are there, and the brother's trying to live up to the other brother, and all that was. But the next episode, I'm not sure, but they'll get back to who's grinding, who's making money, who's on a jet, who's bitching about this, and who's trying to make a Ryder Cup and didn't get picked the right team. That which is a whole other thing, Frank. Remember the whole Ryder Cup fiasco?
Oh yeah, Keegan Bradley.
You know, the mess up of how that got picked and who the captain was and how his buddies were the assistant
just,
captains
yeah,
and all.
Just a stupid,
it's like
stupid,
they just,
stupid thing.
They screw up every
Let's see, who does the Ryder Cup now? Who is that handles that?
I mean, PGA?
Oh, the PGA of America.
Yeah,
that's who I was talking about.
Those guys. Those
Come
guys.
On. Jesus
Christ. Who all said that they were going to make a big change? Remember that, like in 2005?
Oh, yeah.
We're getting our butts handed to us. By God, we got to get a commission together.
Oh,
we're
going
to solve the problem. We did it. And now you're like, you're doing the same thing you always did, which is get all the good old boys together, let them have fun and play. Oh, you got your butt kicked. Oh, guess what?
What do we want to do PGA Week? Do we want to cover something else? Maybe Little League Baseball?
The Knicks? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just getting sick of the bull.
Yeah,
I'm getting sick of it because we get it fed to us as media.
But I do
love,
we
have been as loyal as anybody as the day is long. And spending our money as Golf Talk America Corp. going to all these tournaments and supporting every effort the Tour and the PGA of America and the USGA have. And I just want to see what we get in return from those people. Doesn't look like a lot to me.
I hate to leave this as our final thought, but we do have to wrap her up. But that whole golf ball thing, that's
bullshit.
To me, is going to be such a drain on popularity for golf. Just go away with it. Just make it go away. Don't even talk about it anymore. Nobody, and especially the people that are paying the bills, like your viewership and all the ones that want to go play golf and then support the Titleist and the TaylorMades of the world, all the ones that spin around that, which is all the amateurs out there playing that really, really function for the top 50 guys that are doing it for a living and making a fortune. Don't want a ball that doesn't go as far. Stop it.
Hey, go buy the PXG ball. Amen. You want a good golf ball? Go buy the PXG golf ball.
Does that one sell? Does it go?
It goes. I love that golf ball. I'm telling you, it's a great golf ball, and they sell it for $39.95 all day, a dozen.
See, cheaper than a lot of the other high-end balls.
Yeah, $55 for you know what.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're great golf balls. And go buy their new driver, too, the Black Ops driver. Go get fitted. I'm not doing an advertisement. I'm just talking from firsthand knowledge of playing it. I had guys asking me, I said, wow, what did you take some? What are you doing different? Because you're really hitting the ball further.
You know what's funny too? If anybody's going to not go down that shorter golf ball, it would be Bob Parsons.
Bob Parsons wouldn't do it in a heartbeat. Kaboom, baby!
The hell with that. Buy my ball.
Hey,
drive past everybody.
I'd take that Marine as commissioner of the PGA Tour any day.
Yeah, they just something has to happen.
Bob Parsons,
good
guy.
I still don't know
how,
don't know how that
good
guy's
company.
In the office. You know, yep. I don't know. But anyway, check them out, PXG.com.
Yeah, check them out, PXG.com. You got to. They're great.
Also, check out Invited Clubs. Invited Clubs is our sponsor. We love them so much. Frank's a member of an Invited Club.
Mm-hmm.
So am I here in Dallas. They just had their Invited Celebrity Pro-Am that they had at Los Colinas Country Club. They're based here in the Dallas area, and their course is all over the country. Go to invitedclubs.com. Some of them are dinner clubs, right? Some of them are where you can go to restaurants.
Yes, city clubs, dinner clubs, university clubs in some cases.
40th floor of a building. It's a beautiful. Yeah. So they have all kinds of great perks that go with it, and they are always, as we talked, David Pillsbury, their CEO, was on with us a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Always putting investment into improving their clubs and making sure that you've got enough pickleball courts now at your club and making sure the greens are better and everything else. I played at Prestonwood 2 days ago, and I'm telling you, it was pristine. The greens were beautiful. My score had nothing to do with how nice the course was. It's in great shape.
How many putts did it take you?
The putting wasn't too bad. The greens were perfect. I had a little tweak in my back, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
And so it kind of, I had the flares going.
Okay.
Everything was going off to the right, and I didn't quite compensate for it. So there
that,
you go.
That old college lacrosse injury came back.
Yeah, the old one. Something happened.
Anyway.
Invitedclubs.com. Check them out.
You got it.
We are done. We're out of here.
Are we?
Thank you, Frank, for doing this.
Yeah.
We appreciate
I hope we don't
everybody.
Get in trouble.
We invite everybody. I think we're going to. Why not?
Why not?
Thank you to Art Selinger for being with us as well, and each and every one of you. Make an appointment to join us right here. Our podcast is available anytime, anywhere you get a podcast. Just go to it and get updated on what we're doing at Golf Talk America. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again for listening, and remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.